Okay, good evening. The parsha this week is Ekev. This is Chaim Bravender. We're going to learn a little something about the book of Dvarim, about Moshe Rabbeinu, and about a few psukim. And Moshe Rabbeinu is sort of leaving. The book of Dvarim is about Moshe Rabbeinu leaving Am Yisrael and the state in which he wants to leave them. We know that the books of Shemot and Vayikra and Bamidbar introduced us to the notion of mitzvot. There are mitzvot. And here in the book of Dvarim, Moshe Rabbeinu tries to go beyond that, beyond mitzvot, and teach us something else about life, which he thinks is very important. To preface Moshe Rabbeinu's attempts to widen our horizons about what the religious personality is about, in order to teach us that, we have to understand something about bracha, about blessings. The first thing that we have to understand is that in the Ten Commandments, there is a commandment that refers to mentioning the name of God in an idle or unnecessary manner. Lo tisa shem Hashem Elokecha l'shav. You should not mention God's name without a particular purpose, which we understand as being without being directed by Chazal to make the bracha at that particular time. And so we accept l'halacha. We accept l'halacha that we don't take this lightly. We don't say God's name, even in a bracha, unless it's the appropriate time. Even if the bracha itself could at least theoretically be said at any time. Like if you walk by an apple orchard, so you say, Baruch Ata Hashem, Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, Borei Pri HaEitz. Well, what's wrong with that? So you say, no, it was ordained by Chazal that bracha is a bracha that we say only when we're about to eat. Only when we're about to eat. When we're not about to eat, we don't say it. We don't say that bracha. Okay? Where do we get this idea? Where did Chazal get the idea that you could say a bracha at all? I mean, all the brachot were created by Chazal. Well, how did they know that they should do that they should be brachot? So it would seem that it comes from a pasuk in our parasha, right? Look at, see the text, Dvarim Perichet, Ki Hashem Elokecha Meviacha. God is bringing you El Eretz Tova, to a good place. El Eretz Tova. Let me just get to the point where I can underline. There we go. Ki Hashem Elokecha Meviacha El Eretz Tova. God is bringing you to a good place. I mean, all of these words demand interpretation, but intuitively we assume that we understand them. Eretz Nachalei Mayim, a lot of water, Ayanot Utohomot, which doesn't only mean that you have water, but it means that you have to daven for water. I mean, that's the idea. Yotzim Babika Ubahar. There's water in the valleys and water on the mountains. Eretz Chita Usora VeGefen Teina VeRimon. This is the title for Eretz Canaan, the land that they're being given. Right? There'll be Chita and Sora and Gefen Teina. I'm sure you know the words. Eretz Zeit Shemen Udevash. Eretz Ashelobe Miskenu Tochal Balechem. You're going to be well off in Eretz Canaan, Lo Techzar Kol Ba, you won't miss a thing. Eretz Asher Avaneh Barzel, you'll be able to get iron from the stones, and Meharereh Techzom Nechoshet, and copper from the I mean, these are words that describe a plenteous situation. Finally, that description is finalized in Pasuk Yud, the 10th Pasuk in the 8th chapter. V'chalta, v'savata, v'irachta, et Hashem Elokecha l'aretz ha'tova asher natan lach. Now, it's at first blush difficult to understand what this could possibly mean. V'chalta, v'savata, that I understand, you're going to eat and you feel good. Then u'beirachta. What do you mean u'beirachta? What could that possibly mean? Why would God need our blessing? Or why would it be important for us to do that? But if you think about it from the legal point of view, what this pasuk says is there is such a thing as a bracha. And you do that, midoraita, from the Torah itself, after you eat. And we call that bracha birkat hamazon. We call that birkat hamazon. And it's a mitzvah min ha-Torah to bless God. What are we blessing God about? What does it mean to bless God? I mean, okay, those are difficult questions. And they are dealt with in a variety of places, but that's not our concern at the moment. But the word uberachta et Hashem Elokecha, you bless God, obviously opened the door to blessings. There are blessings that you make. Last night I was at a chuppah, and of course you know that there are sheva brachot that are made when you at the chuppah. Now most of those brachot are kind of very general in nature. Brachat Hashem, Yotzer HaAdam, who created man. Well, I mean, created man, we could say that bracha theoretically. Halachically we can't, but you could say it. You could say that a Brit Milah, the Pidyon HaBen, I mean, what's Yotzer HaAdam? It's a worthy thing to remember. Shakol Bara Lechvodo, everything gives God honor. It's all things that make sense, but they don't have anything in particular to do with the chuppah, other than the fact that Chazal said that's when you should say it. So on the one hand, we've expanded the notion of a bracha, not only Birkat HaMazon, which is referred to here in this pasuk, but all the brachot that we make during the day, and yet we've maintained the idea that you can't run away with it. You can't just say brachot any time at all, but all the brachot that we say are said at a particular time. I said at a particular time, v'chalta v'savata v'irachta et Hashem Elokecha. That means only after v'chalta v'savata. And the same thing is true about other brachot. Even though the brachot may be very general in their nature, nevertheless, we say the bracha at the appointed time only. We don't say the bracha, as we said before. If you're walking by an apple orchard, it would seem reasonable that you would say Bari Pura Eitz, but you don't. The bracha, that's one of the brachot that have to do with hana'ah, with the pleasure that you get from eating. And they're not brachot that you just say indiscriminately whenever you want. Okay, that's like a kind of background thing that Moshe Rabbeinu is reminding Bnei Yisrael of. But beyond that, there's another pasuk in this parasha, which turns out to be a pasuk of great significance. Not that the other pasukim are not, but right now, the way we're thinking about things, it's a pasuk of great significance. The pasuk begins with Tai Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu is talking. Moshe Rabbeinu has something to say. Moshe Rabbeinu wants to make sure that everybody's listening. Ata Yisrael, ma Hashem Elokecha shoel me'imak. Imagine Moshe Rabbeinu saying that. Moshe Rabbeinu said, I've taught you mitzvot, and I've taught you halachot, and I taught you, and there's still, ma Hashem Elokecha shoel me'imak. I can still ask that question. according to the pasuk. Ki im says there are things that go beyond mitzvot, and things go beyond obligations, the regular kind of obligations. What are they? Liyirat Hashem Elokecha. You have to fear God. When? I don't know. I guess all the time. Lalechet b'kol dirachav, to follow His ways. La'ava oto. La'ava oto. Right? To love God. La'avod et Hashem Elokecha, and to serve God. Those you could do mitzvot in a perfunctory manner, right? Without, you know, investing a lot of spiritual energy. Or you could do it b'chol levavcha b'chol nafshecha. That's what the pasuk says. Let's listen again. Vata Yisrael. Ma Hashem Elokecha Shoel Meimach. Ma. Ma. Rashi says, Rashi says, "Vata Yisrael." He turns to Bnei Yisrael. He says, "Abba Pisha, see them kol zot." Even though you did all these bad things that I've mentioned up to now, up to the 10th chapter here of Dvarim, Odenu Rachamav v'chibato aleichem. God still loves you, and has mercy upon you. Mikol ma shechatatem lefanav. And all these transgressions, Moshe Rabbeinu said, it's worth repeating them. It's worth mentioning them, because you see, from mentioning all the things that you did, all of the difficulties that you had, just by mentioning all of those things, you see immediately how God has been merciful, how God has accepted you, how God has enabled you with all of that baggage to come here to Eretz Canaan, to the border of Eretz Canaan. It's Moshe Rabbeinu talking. That's Moshe Rabbeinu talking. Okay, so what is the pasuk talking about? What is the pasuk talking about? So the Gemara, there's a Gemara in Menachot, which is not on the sheet, unfortunately. My mistake. The Gemara in Menachot, Daf Mem Gimel Amud Bet, says the following. According to Rabbi Meir, right, according to Rabbi Meir, Hayav Adam Levarech Me'a Brachot. Every person has to daven, has to say 100 brachot every day. 100 brachot every day. So about this statement of Rabbi Meir, we could ask two questions. One question is, where did he get that number from? And secondly, what's he talking about? I mean, chayav levarech, you're obligated to say the blessings that you're obligated to say. Isn't that what Chazal said? But interestingly enough, this, we just could turn the page, right? Interestingly enough, just 1 second. Interesting. So it would seem that Rabbi Meir's interpretation had to do with this word ma. With this word ma. And you know, in Hebrew, certain letters, you know, get swallowed up in pronunciation. So that the word ma, mem hey, could also be mem aleph hey, because the aleph doesn't have much of a job, But it changes the word. Ma, mem hei, means what? What is it you're supposed to do? But mem aleph hei is a hint at 100, according to Rabbi Meir. So according to Rabbi Meir, what is it that Moshe Rabbeinu is talking about? What does God want from you, according to Rabbi Meir? 100 brachot. And what's missing again is this line, and you know that this is halacha, this is halacha of the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch says, Chayav Adam Levarech Mea Brachot Bekol Yom. Everybody is obliged. I mean, it became an obligation. It's not even written anyplace, but it became an obligation. And the second thing I don't understand is why 100? What's 100? So it seems to me that you have to remember that Tkiat Shofar 100. We blow 100 tkiot. Now, anybody who learns the material knows I think we've got it here. We have got it. Just 1 second. Here we are. Shulchan Aruch Or Chaim, Hilchot Brachot Hashachar, Shar Brachot Siman, Mem Vav Siv Gimel. Chayav Adam Levarech Bechol Yomei Brachot Lefachot. Lefachot. That's not Rabbi Meir. That word lefachot is at least 100. More than 100 is better, but at least 100 brachot lefachot. So now listen again. Rabbi Meir said, this pasuk that has in it a reference to lalechet, to go with God, to be with God, to kind of have your time spent with God, says it's a reference to 100 brachot. And what is 100 brachot? We have another reference to 100, and that's with Tkiat Shofar. Everybody knows who learns the sugya of Tkiat Shofar, that you yotzei the mitzvah of Tkiat Shofar with the shofar that we hear before Shmona Esrei of Musaf. That's enough. Where did 100 blasts come from? So Tosu said, there's a minhag. The people wanted more. Why did they want more? Because everybody understood, everybody who was involved, everybody who went to shul, everybody who listened to Tkiat Shofar year after year, they all knew that Tkiat Shofar was something special. Something that represented the conversation that you could have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You could have. But the words, our words would be insufficient. They would be unavailable for such an outstanding enterprise. And so HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the shofar and said, shofar is going to have that conversation. That tefillah, where I can't get the words right, it's all going to come out of the shofar. And because of that, and because of the contradiction that existed between the halacha and the desire, the halacha said, you did it already, you did the mitzvah. This is what I mentioned before, that, you know, when I was a kid, I remember that tkiat shofar used to take a long time. Because it was inconceivable that whoever had the job of blowing the shofar is not going to mess it up. He's always going to have to do it over again. He's not going to do it exactly the way the Baal Makri, the person who reads out the directions, wants him to do it. But today, I mean, thankfully, everybody who blows the shofar seems to be a perfect shofar blower. Who makes a mistake? Where is there a mistake? So it takes a minute Okay, 3 minutes. To blow the amount of tkiyot shofar for which you are really yotzei min haTorah. So what are we doing the rest of the time? What is that 100 tkiyot all about? It says, you know, when you have a good thing, you don't want to let go. Don't want to let go of that thing that you have. Tkiyot shofar. 100's a big number. And so today we're very careful, 100, not 101 or 102, but I think you could understand the idea of 100 tkiyot as being all day long. And today, if you live in Eretz Yisrael, or if you live in Yerushalayim, or if you're in the places that I know a little bit about, there are people who are blowing shofar all day long for a variety of reasons. Sometimes there are sick people, sometimes there are old people, sometimes there are people who can't get to shul. And they, you know, everybody deserves tkiyat shofar. But as a result, people could sit in their homes and hear tkiyat shofar all day long sometimes. And that's really what we want with the 100 tkiyot. And so Rabbi Meir said, the number me'ah is, there's a remez. It's hinted at. In this pasuk, Ma Hashem Elokeinu Shoel Me'imach, what does God want from you? Ma, I will change it into a declarative statement. Me'ah, it is 100 brachot that God wants from you. And why does God want those 100 brachot? Because 100 is a big number, and 100 indicates an ongoing conversation, an ongoing conversation. And so the Moshe Rabbeinu is telling us, look, he's saying to everybody, there is this tension. There's a tension between mitzvot and brachot. He says, what's a mitzvah? A mitzvah, you know, has limits. It only can be performed at a particular time, in a particular way. If you miss out on the time or you miss out on the way, I mean, you can't do it. You can't make up for it. The nature of a mitzvah is it's very much part of the world in which we live. It may not be something that everybody does, but you do it in the way that people do things. You take the lulav and you shake it. Shaking it is not something that you learn when you have to take the lulav. The matzah, you take the matzah and you eat it. You don't have to learn how to eat. It's all part of what we do, but there's another world, Moshe Rabbeinu said. There's another world that is a possible world. It's there for the taking. All you have to do is want it. And you can turn the world into a world of bracha. When they're having that conversation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu that begins, Baruch Atah Hashem, you Hashem, Baruch, and that's who I'm having a conversation with. This idea is so powerful. This idea is so powerful for the religious personality that we see that the Ramah. That the Ramah, Rav Moshe Isserlish, in his first Hagaha, his first editorial comment in the Shulchan Aruch, is a quote from the Mishnah, from the Mori Nevuchim, from the Rambam's Guide to the Perplexed. It's a quote. Came right in spite of the fact that there were people in the different generations who were against the Rambam, against certainly his philosophy. Along came the Ramah. It's important to remember. And in the first paragraph of the Shulchan Aruch, he says the following. You see where it says Hagah? I underlined it. Shiviti Hashem lenegdi tamid pasuk. I have placed God before me always. Hu klal gadol b'Torah. This is an important principle in the Torah. Uvimalot hatzadikim, and in those exalted levels of the righteous, asher holchim lifnei ha'elokim, there's an assumption that there are people who walk with God. Lifnei ha'elokim, they walk with God. Tzadikim, the righteous. And he says, ki ein yeshivata adamu tnuotav. He says, after all, everybody would agree that the way you sit, you place yourself, the way you act, vasakav, and your business dealings, v'hu levado beveito. He says, you know, that people sit home and they're able to transact business, they're able to eat breakfast and lunch, you know, like people who are oppressed by COVID and they're home. He says, but the way they do it, it's not the same way they would do it. Ki yeshivato tnu otav va'asakav v'hu lifnei melech gadol. He says, but if he's, you know, if he has to go and see the president or go to see the prime minister, he probably would get dressed up, probably put on a tie if he's a male. And probably, since the Rambam said, we know this. You know it from our experience. That's the point that the Rambam says, that we have different ways of relating to reality. And so what's the lesson in it? What's the point of saying that when I go to meet with a king, I'm going to get dressed up, and when I meet with my chavrusa, I don't get so dressed up? Like with the way he sits and the way he moves around and the way he does, he deals in business. Who? Mivnei melech gadol. Velo diburo v'rachavat piv. And he won't even speak or open up his mouth, kirtzono. V'hu im anshei beito ukrovav. Right, like Zeresh. You know, Haman's wife. He was in the house with his close relatives, his close people were close to him. Kidiburo b'moshav ha-melech. He says there's a difference between the way you speak to your family and the way you speak to the king. And therefore, the Rambam said, this means something. We have to take it, it's a lesson to be learned. That even though we're doing the same action, speaking, standing, sitting, we do it differently. I'll underline just a second. Kol shekain. Kshiyasima adam elibo. When a person decides, right, he in his heart, I mean, he decides, shamelech hagadol, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the great God, the great King, God, Kadosh Baruch Hu, Asher Melei Kol HaAretz Kvodo, who fills the entire world with his kavod, with his honor, Omeid Alav, he stands before him, V'ro'eh B'Ma'asav, and he knows what he's doing, what you're doing, K'mo She'ne'amar, Imi Soter Ish, that God sees everything and knows what's going on. So miyad yagia elav ayira b'achna'a b'pachad Hashem yitbrach. Then he'll have fear of God and give in to that fear. Boshto mimenu tamid. And all of that comes from the Mor Nevuchim, the third third section, chapter 52. We see, according to the Rambam, who was a reasonable person, it would seem, and not given to fantasies of one kind or another, the Rambam says that you have to use reality, the reality that we know, as an example, you know, for the reality that we would like to create. So we know that we have mitzvot. We know that we have mitzvot. But those mitzvot, as I pointed out, are limited in time and in place. I mean, we have those mitzvot, but we can't do them all the time. We can't be affected by that. I mean, they are bound by all sorts of regulations, by rules and regulations that makes them impossible to affect at the wrong time. At the wrong time. And yet we understand the mashal, the parable that the Rambam quotes, that the Rambam quoted in the name of the Rambam. That parable has to do with what I know. I know that everything is different when I go to meet the king. Everything is different. The way I sit, the way I stand, the way I dress, the way I talk, everything is different. When I talk to my family members, I don't feel that I have to get dressed up. I don't feel that I have to talk the Queen's English, if I knew that English. I don't feel that way with my family. So the Rambam says, certainly, if you're willing to give that kind of concern to the king, you should certainly give that concern to your place before Melech Malchei HaMelechim, the King of Kings, of the place of God. So Rabbi Meir said, that really what you should do is say brachot, speak of God all day long. Besides the mitzvot that you have to do, you have to also be with God all the time. When is all the time, according to Rabbi Meir? Well, 100 brachot a day. That's all the time. And that's what the Shulchan Aruch taught us. 100 brachot all day long. All day long, every day. Every day, 100 brachot. Because in regarding devotion, there is the limit and the limitless. The limited devotion is the devotion that we do by doing mitzvot in the right way, the right time, the right way, the right halakhic notion. But there's also this other attempt that we have to place ourselves before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to be with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to say brachot for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All of that is what Rabbi Meir tried to teach us and tried to say to us. So in the final analysis, Moshe Rabbeinu is leaving Bnei Yisrael with a difficult challenge. Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, look, you know, I've taught you the mitzvot, taught you about Shabbat, I've taught you about idolatry, I've taught you about El Chosnido, the three big topics that the Gemara mentions. I taught you all of that. But what I want to tell you now is that that's necessary, but may not be sufficient. What is sufficient is creating a relationship with the idea that God is watching over us. That's Moshe Rabbeinu's present to us. That what happened at Har Sinai, what happened at Har Sinai to all of Bnei Yisrael, well, it can happen again. It can happen all the time, over and over again. It can happen over and over again. So this is part of the message that Moshe Rabbeinu is giving to Bnei Yisrael. As we saw in Rashi, part of the message is that God forgives and God enables us to go on. And that's something that we have to reflect upon when we think about the past. But the future, Moshe Rabbeinu says, has to be the future with Har Sinai, with that special relationship of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Bnei Yisrael. And we get that relationship in the Me'ah Brachot, so that even though on the one hand we can't take it lightly, on the other hand we have to increase the number of brachot that we manage to make during the day. Have a wonderful Shabbos. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Thank you.